Well, good morning. Great. I want to add my welcome this morning. I want to welcome especially those that this is your first time ever at Women's Bible Study. We are so glad that you are here. Look forward to a great year of study together. Before we begin, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that we would all leave here knowing the privilege of studying this book together. Because it's not just a book, it's not just idle words, it's life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when my daughter was in high school, she told us that she wanted to go out for the track team. And this was no surprise because Sarah played other high school sports and she was always in shape. And so during the spring months, track made perfect sense. It was a great option. And I vividly remember when she walked through the door after the first day of practice and she said she didn't want to go back. When I asked her why, she replied, "Mom, all we did was run." You get it? I mean, running. What did she expect? That's what you do in track. Clearly, she did not have realistic expectations of going into that new experience. Well, this morning, as we begin this new experience of studying Exodus together, I want you to know what you can realistically expect. Now, you can expect new friendships. You can expect women who will pray for you. You can expect, if you have children in the children's program, that they will be loved and taught the Bible and have fun. But more than all of that, I want you to understand that whether this is your first time studying the Bible, and I am so glad you're here, or whether you've studied it for years, you can expect to grow in your understanding of who God is and what He has done. And you might ask, why can I say that? Well, this morning, I'd like to propose three reasons why you can expect that. And the first is because we are studying the Bible. You see, this book is unlike any book that was or ever will be. This is God's Word. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is what? Breathed out by God." More literally, breathed into by God. The Scripture, the Bible that we so readily hold in our hands, bears, think about this, it bears God's perfection and His authority. It is completely reliable because it gets its true and powerful and holy character from God Himself. It's amazing. There are 66 books written. If you turn to your table of contents, and I hope you have a Bible. If you don't, we will provide one for you. So see the ladies out at the table. But if you look at your table of contents, you will see 66 books written in different genres during specific historical contexts by many different authors with distinct personalities. But they wrote down exactly the words God intended because they wrote under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 2:21 from the New Testament says, "No prophecy, no words of Scripture were produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, every word, every stroke of the pen breathed out by God's Spirit. Friends, the Bible is not just a record of what God has said in the past. It is God actively speaking to us right now. The one who spoke the heavens into existence. The one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. This same one has spoken to us. Who are we that this could be so? Pastor John Piper said it best. If God is the supreme value in the universe, then to have God speaking to us is more precious than anything else. Expect to grow in your understanding of who God is and what he has done because we are studying the Bible. God's word of life, his life-changing message to us. Now, whether we like it or not, we live in a world of cell phones and text messaging. I succumbed and learned how to text and all that a few years ago so I could communicate with my kids, mostly. It's amazing how attached we become to those little devices. In fact, I wonder if you've had an experience like me where you've run an errand, maybe gone to the grocery store, and you discover you forgot your cell phone. I mean, it's like panic almost sets in, or you've left all ability to communicate at home. I mean, what calls or messages might you be missing? As I thought about this, I asked myself, am I this desperate to not miss God's message? The most important message ever given. Do I wake up in the morning more eager to grab my Bible than my phone or my computer or something else? God has spoken to us through his word. Each week, when we sit down to do our lessons, will we listen eagerly with full attention? Will we listen humbly with our hearts open to what God wants to reveal to us about himself, what he wants to teach us about how we should live? Ladies, expect to grow in your understanding of who God is and what he has done because we are studying his perfect and powerful message to us. But further, we can expect to grow because we are studying the book of Exodus. Now, some of you come excited to study this book because you know what's really inside. For others, your only point of reference to the story of Exodus might be the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner. Oh my, are you in for a treat. Still others have taken a sneak peek, maybe, in preparation for today, and you're a bit apprehensive. You happen to turn to the later chapters, and you happen to see the verse about what should happen to an ox when he gores a person to death, or the verse about prohibiting the boiling of a young goat in its mother's milk, and you're wondering, what on earth? Wherever you are on the spectrum, you can expect to grow in your understanding of who God is and what he has done. Because here's the thing. Exodus is not really about Moses. It's not about goats. It's not even about the people of Israel, although there are lessons from all of those things for us. Exodus is all about God. It's all about his glory. It's all about God sovereignly working to save a special people for his own glory. That's it. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus. It's not far in. It's the second book, Genesis, then Exodus. We won't be looking at specific passages, but I just want you to get a feel for where it is and kind of the general perspective. It was written by Moses, and Exodus is the beautiful story of God revealing his glory by graciously rescuing his people out of the darkness of slavery in Egypt. And it traces their pilgrim journey through the wilderness on the way to the land that God had promised way back in Genesis. And there are two foundational events in this book, and we have a front row seat. The first one is God's deliverance of Israel. And the second one is God giving the law at Mount Sinai. You see, the first 18 chapters, as you look at them, showcase God's power and his glory in his deliverance of Israel from the slavery in Egypt. But beginning in chapter 19, and maybe turn there with me, beginning in chapter 19, you'll see perhaps a heading in your Bible. Mine says Israel at Mount Sinai. God gathers Israel to the foot of Mount Sinai where he communicates his will to them through the law. Specifically in chapters 20 to 31, beginning with the Ten Commandments, we will see that this law included both requirements for how Israel is to live and directives for how God is to be worshipped. How does Israel do? Stay tuned in chapters 32 to 34. I'm not going to give it away. All I will say is God is supremely holy and supremely merciful. The book ends beautifully in chapters 35 to 40 with detailed specifications of Israel's construction of the tabernacle, which is the place where God will dwell with his people. Now, if we're honest, most love studying the first half of Exodus because it's full of great stories, and we so easily see God's grace. However, the second half of Exodus, it's more difficult because of all the lists of rules and regulation. Where is God's grace? But as we dig in, we are going to discover that God's grace permeates the whole book. We will see God's grace as he hears the groans of his people and rescues them. But the law is also a grace. Because in context, the law was not a list of rigid rules to gain God's favor. They already had God's favor in their deliverance. Out of his love, God graciously gives the law to reveal his holy character and let his people know how to glorify him in their daily lives. It's all a grace. You can expect to grow in your understanding of who God is and what he has done because Exodus is all about God. It's all about his glory, his holiness, his sovereignty, his power, his provision, his love, his grace in saving sinners like us. So as we begin, Will you with me keep a list, either on the margin of your Bible, on the margin of your lessons, keep a list of all the attributes of God that you see.
So Elijah came, and then God himself came. No more prophets are needed. So last week we covered Malachi in 30 minutes. Today we're covering 400 years of biblical history in 20 minutes. So let's take a deep breath and review what we've talked about. And then I just want to offer three quick words of application for our lives today.
And let's remind each other who God is and what he has done for us. You can expect to grow because we're studying the Bible, because we are studying Exodus and finding
a great prophet who would come before God himself. Then we listened with God's people.
He is all over the pages of Exodus. In fact, this is so beautiful. Exodus is often called the gospel of the Old Testament. Because as we will see, God's deliverance of his people finds its ultimate meaning and final interpretation in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So Moses will point us to Jesus. God delivered Israel out of the bondage of Egypt through his chosen mediator, Moses. But the New Testament tells us that Jesus is greater than Moses, counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because Jesus, God's ultimate mediator, God's ultimate deliverer, willingly passed through the deep waters of death on a cross to satisfy God's wrath and rescue his people finally and completely from sin and death. The Passover will point us to Jesus, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist said. Those who believe that Jesus shed his own blood for their sins are saved. They have complete forgiveness, peace with God, and one day, with the angels, we will sing what? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, what a day that will be. The tabernacle will point us to Jesus, because through Jesus, God came to dwell in our midst. I love the way the Apostle John put this in John chapter 1. And the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt. Do you know what the word really is? Tabernacled among us. You see, all of these things will point us to Jesus, and this is just the beginning. The manna will point us to Jesus. The priestly role will point us to Jesus. Even the law points us to Jesus, because in our inability to keep it perfectly, it shows us our need for a Savior. In Exodus, we can expect to grow because we are going to come face to face with Jesus. 35 years ago, I wasn't born. I wish I could say that. I'm older than that. 35 years ago, across the street, a little ways, the Lebanese ambassador to the United States stood on the steps of the Billy Graham Center at its dedication. And he said this as part of his speech: I am a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God and Savior and song day and night. I can live without food, without drink, without sleep, without air, but I cannot live without Jesus. Are you trying to live without Jesus? Do you know him? Not know of him. Do you know him personally? If not, please don't leave here without talking to your leader, to me. I'll stay as long as it takes. Because today, by acknowledging your need for a Savior, and that Jesus is that Savior, by believing that, you can receive complete forgiveness, peace with God, and the assurance of living forever with him. No one can truly live without Jesus. Well, ladies, if you ever join a track team, expect to run. And as we dig into Exodus, expect to grow. Expect to grow in your understanding of who God is and what he has done, because God has spoken through the Bible. He's spoken through Exodus, and ultimately, he has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. As we comb through the pages of Exodus, may we see Jesus in all of his glory, and may we fall more deeply in love with him. Let's pray. Who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Through our study, help us to understand more of who you are and what you have done for us. Give us eyes to see more of your glory. Give us hearts to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.